listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host, the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this special interview. We have a very talented singer-songwriter. She just played my Songwriters in the Round last weekend in Los Angeles, Miss Olivia Rose. How are you, Olivia?
Hi, I'm so good. How are you?
Good to see you again so soon.
I know. Long time no see. This is so exciting.
I know. You know what? You killed it. I got to say, it's like, it's always nerve-wracking to do something like that just because you never know like how the night's going to unfold. But you brought it. You brought your A game. You were so dialed in with songs. You knew what you were playing. It was just so polished. It was excellent. So thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to the performance so prepared.
Thank you. Oh, of course. Thank you. You killed it too. I love your songs.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's go back to the very beginning. You come from Arizona.
Yes.
But what was the moment of Zen that made you want to be a musician?
The moment of Zen. There are a few. I would say one moment that comes to mind is when I was in third grade. I remember sitting on the monkey bars and I had like my light up journal and my Mickey Mouse pen and I was writing music and I finished my first ever entire song. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just finished a song. And I like ran around the playground and I was like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Wow. You must have been 6 or 7, 8?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was 8 or 9 maybe.
Were you playing guitar then?
Yes, I was playing guitar and piano.
Wow, that is incredible. That doesn't happen very often. How did you first start playing guitar? Like, did you start taking lessons even earlier before that?
Yeah, I took lessons. I started playing piano first when I was 4. We had a grand piano in my house, and I asked my mom if I could take lessons, and she signed me up. And then I started playing guitar when I was 8.
That's so crazy. So did you have an artist that you fell in love with right away that made you want to start playing the instruments?
Yeah, that artist is Taylor Swift for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Was it one of her earlier country records or was it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Was it a certain song that made you go, I want to do this right now? Was it a performance that you saw online or something like that?
Honestly, it was the first time I either heard Tim McGraw or Love Story on the radio. I don't remember which one, but one of those two for sure.
And you were like, that's it. I know what I want to do with my life. It's going to be a long road, but I'm going to start now. So you started putting songs together. Do you remember what your first song was about? Was it about like a boy crush or a girl crush or an anybody crush? Or was it like just dealing with life? You know, as an 8-year-old, you're like, I'm trying to figure out my whole dream status. Like, what was the whole situation?
Yeah, that song that I mentioned that I wrote in third grade was called Twice the Fun. And it was about just like how everyone has their own ideas of fun.
That's pretty introspective for an 8-year-old. That's pretty.
I guess so.
I wouldn't think that an 8-year-old would think about having the fear of missing out so young, or just like the awareness of like what other people are doing to have a good time.
Yeah, I guess that's I so did.
Cool. Did you bring your guitar to school that day? Were you able to play like on the playground?
I did not bring my guitar to school that day, but I did used to bring my journal to school and I would write in it.
That was your outlet. Do you still write that way? Do you still have a journal where it's like that's your outlet to write lyrics?
Yeah, I do have a journal. Admittedly, I don't journal, like sit down to journal that much. I more sit down to write lyrics, but I also use my notes app in my phone. I've like this, if anytime I have a lyric, I'll just jot it down and then come back to it later, or maybe it'll turn into something in that moment. But just writing down little ideas all the time.
I kind of find those moments to be kind of little miracles. Like when a song comes to you or a lyric comes to you, I can't ever tell where that comes from. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it's my imagination. oh, it's from the universe. Oh, it's from whatever we think God is or whatever. It's all of those things and none of those things all at the same time. Yeah. How do you describe what that is?
I had a teacher in high school that said something to the effect of, that it was probably put more eloquently than this, but essentially I like to think it's something in the walls, if that makes sense. Like if the walls could talk,
I love that.
There's something, there's an energy in the room that it's like, I don't know, something's coming through you. I don't know quite how to describe it, but I like to think of it as something outside of myself.
The reason I ask is like, we never have these conversations as songwriters to each other. You know, it's like, We all just like, can't wait to see what somebody else is playing or writing, but really that process of like catching something, maybe it's like capturing lightning in a bottle or that moment or that lyric that moves us. It's like, I love that your cat just said, No, but that just adds to all of it. It's like, it's the same thing. It's that instinctual thing that you have to get this moment out of you and you have to capture it at the same time and you have to document it. And it's like, there's something so great about that process. And it is, I don't know if it's like, it makes us all feel like we have purpose because of it, but it really does make you feel special that you're able to catch and capture something like that. Tell me what that feeling is like for you.
100%. Purpose. It really is. Like I just always feel the best when I've written down something or when I've come up with a new chord progression and like even just like hummed a melody over it. Like anything that gets my creative energy out is what gives me my purpose.
I love that. I love that. And you know, it's what's really cool too. This is what I love. It's like all of us have musical heroes. Like we see somebody and they move us to the extreme, to the point where it's like, not only do we love what they do, but it ignites something in us to make us want to do the same thing. You know what I mean? And it's not an easy life. You know this. It's like, it's such a like a curveball as to like what's going to happen, what's behind, you know, door number one. What's really crazy, you know, I talked about this at the Songwriter in the Round, but I wrote a song 20 years ago that I played it was the first song. And it was really weird listening to the kid who recorded that song because I hadn't done anything in my career yet. And there was this, I could hear the wonder, I could hear the youth, and I could hear all these little things that I wouldn't have heard in the moment. But now as an older guy who's done things and been able to accomplish so much, I hear that person and I hear those songs in a different way. Do you listen to that first song that you wrote in the same way? Like, how has that changed within you as a songwriter?
Totally. By the way, I loved that first song.
Thank you.
I love listening back to old voice memos and stuff, especially if it's a song that I wrote about something really difficult that I was going through. Right. I can listen back on the voice memo and be like, oh my gosh, like I wish I could tell her that it's gonna be okay.
Right.
But also it's like such a good thing that I got that song out of it. So
you have great songs. The way you construct songs, you just know that you love songs, you love putting them together because you construct your own songs so well. And that was the first thing that I heard. I think with even just like hearing a couple seconds of your first song, I was like, oh, this girl can write. You can write. And I love when you can hear like nuance in a songwriter where it's like, you know the styles, you know their influences, but they also sound like none of those influences and they sound completely like themselves. How do you steer away from getting away from your influences to sound more of like what you want to sound like?
Ooh, that's a great question. I like to think that this is a really good question. I have a lot of sort of varied interests from Taylor Swift to 80s to rock. So I like to think that what I create is a mix of all of those things. Maybe I take lyrics that are inspired by folk, but maybe that day I'm writing a synth pop song. So I think in that way, I'm creating a sound that's unique to me. And I also, you know, I have my own unique way of saying things, even just like in my day-to-day life, my own sets of expressions and everything. So I like to think that I bring that originality with everything I write.
I love that. And it's funny because it's like we start this journey wanting to sound like our heroes. Yeah. And then we slowly start peeling the layers away and it's like, that's not enough. It's like, I want to find some new direction, that maybe it's a combination of a multitude of heroes, or it's like nothing ever anybody's ever done. I always find when I write, those are my favorite songs. And I'm like, you know what? This kind of sounds like this, and it kind of sounds like this, but none of those artists are doing this exact thing. Exactly. And it sounds like a combination. So who are those people you think you draw the most? Is it Taylor Swift? Is it 80s? Is it rock? Is it kind of a little equal bits of each of them?
It really is a little bit of everything. It started off as Taylor Swift, but now I also love Paramore, Hayley Williams, who's the lead singer of Paramore, Maggie Rogers. Yes. 80s artists like Blondie, even like The Police. I also love Men at Work. Just absolutely. So all of these people sort of making a fusion in my work. Yeah.
What's really cool, I met Stuart Copeland, the drummer for The Police at Coachella. He was wearing a really cool hat. And I said, hey, are you Stuart Copeland? And he said, sometimes. That is the best response. Yes. But I love The Police. I just bought a vinyl of them. I just love that sound so much. It's something I'm always going to listen to and try to draw from. But I love that you're influenced by some of these early influences, like Blondie and The Police are not in your generation. Was it your parents? Was it just like playlists on Spotify that kind of like nabbed your attention for these other artists?
A bit of both. My mom always listened to 80s music on the radio. Whenever we were in the car, it was always either 80s or country.
That's so awesome. Well, that makes sense then. It's like, you know, we love, it's like for me, it's my older brother. Like my parents love classical music. So my brother was always bringing in rock bands and people that I'd never heard of. And so he was bringing in U2. So it's funny that how much family is a huge influence on us, on what we're listening to, how we're listening, and the styles that we're going into. Do you, like when Taylor started going into her pop phase, did that change? Like, oh my God, she's doing something that is different. Did that change like how you reacted to her music? Or did you kind of, are you still like a diehard fan and you still love all her new directions?
Yeah, it didn't change anything at all for me. And it makes me love her more, actually. Love it when an artist switches things up and explores different areas that maybe they didn't even know they were capable of doing before. I just think it's so cool. I love watching people's evolution.
Yeah, she's got some great pop tunes. Like, especially the first record, I think, is it 1984? Is that her first
real 89.
Book? 89, that's right. Sorry, there's another record I'm thinking of, or a book I'm thinking of. 1989 was such a powerful pop record for her that it's, I think the whole world took notice of her in a different way. It's like, oh, this is like a seriously legit pop sound. And in a lot of ways, it changed what pop music was doing. How do you think pop music is changing now, and where do you think it's going?
Ooh, pop music, I think these days has gotten, I mean, as years go by, as we evolve as a society, I think it gets more and more intersectional. And I love that we see so many women in the industry right now and so many queer women.
Right.
I think that is so important, and it's just giving so much. It's just, I think it's allowing people to be themselves and express themselves in a new way.
Well, and it's also what I love is like musicians always push the needle of society forward. So it's like when you see more of those people in the spotlight, it's like, oh, you see the needle of society is going to move forward because it's like, oh, this is more accepted. This should be more accepted. It's moving people out of their comfort zones. And that's great. It's like, that's what music does. That's what art does. And I just love when it keeps doing that. Who are you majorly influenced now as you're writing and making records? Do you find that some of those influences change, or do they stay the same?
I am super loyal to the bands that I love. So in a way it stayed the same. I always love Taylor Swift. Paramore's been around almost all my life and they're still going and still evolving. But right now, I would say it's a lot of Paramore, a lot of Maggie Rogers, a lot of a band called Haim I really love. Yep. And Lady Gaga just released an album. And
yes, next record, like it's a very like, it's almost like emo pop. Like, it's like dark pop, like her old stuff.
I love dark pop. Yeah. And Muna, like the band that I covered at the Writers' Round is dark pop as well. Love it.
Yeah, I love all the stuff. And you know what's funny? It's like, I wouldn't have picked that as your song because of the stuff you're writing. And that just shows, I love when artists do that, because it's like, you're going to show the songs that you write, and then you go deeper into your playlists or your songs that you love and show us a totally different color. I love that's why that round exists in the Songwriters in the Round. It's like, okay, I love the style you're doing, and then you show us another card. How did you choose that song? Like, because you said you love Muna, what was it about that song that made you want to play it?
I would say that song, if you listen to the album in full, this is one of maybe two songs that's super stripped down, and just very, very honest in a way that felt reachable for me in my catalog and in my artistry. I feel like it ties into the songs that I write in a way that's not the same sound, but in a way that kind of, like you said, offers a different sort of color and perspective. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I love introspective pop, and I do tend to write very introspective music. And that song was also introspective in a way that I wish that I've done before and strive to do.
I love it. Well, let's play something of your songs first. Ooh. What do you want to play us first? Your choice.
Ooh, let's go for I'm in Love and You're Not. Speaking of that folkish sound.
Yes, and she played this in our Songwriters in the Round. Here's Olivia Rose with I'm in Love and You're Not.
Now you're on the phone with her, and I wonder where I stand. Overthinking where I went wrong, 'cause I'm not whole.
Good. I love that I heard the solo acoustic version, and then I heard like the studio like pop version. Very cool.
Thank you.
Well arranged. It's just like a good pop nugget. I'm going to ask you a really peculiar question, because I love this in songs. I love a good fade out. People don't realize how cool a good fade out is. I don't do it all the time on records, but I always do it on a couple songs. Why did you choose the fade out?
This was my first time ever doing it, so I was super excited about it. And ooh. I would be very selective about where I put it. And I used it in this song because it felt like a story that just wasn't over yet. Because yeah. in the song, I'm like, okay, like I'm in love and you're not, but you could be. There's still time. Right. And it also is the closing song of an EP that I have on Spotify. So it's very much just like an inconclusive ending to a whole story.
I love that. Well, that's the whole point of a good fade out. It should sound like it's the party's still going. And it's like, people don't realize that, like artists realize that, but that's why I asked you to. It's like, because it's like so easy to just, oh, let's put a fade out. But no, I could tell it was intentional. And I love when artists are intentional with a fade out, because it's such a small detail that the listener, I guarantee you every listener takes it for granted. But it is so intentional. And it's like when artists do it and they do it in a way that's just like so tasteful, I put a spotlight on it. I'm like, oh my God, I love the fade out. Because the fade out, like, you know, when you listen to a good song and it fades out like that, you're like, oh my God, I don't want this to end. And when you put that in your own songs, you want to give people that same feeling. And it's like, hopefully it does the same thing, because, and I'm sure it will, because this was a very good fade out. So, and I don't know if you got like nerdy about it, but like I was like nerdy about the where I put fade outs. So I was like, oh wait, oh no, it's a second too late. Oh, it's a second too early. Oh,
yeah. Yes,
that is kind of the coolest part of the fade out too.
Yeah, so intentional.
Yes, I love that. So the reason I wanted to ask you that is because you're very intentional with your arrangements. Tell us like what went behind the arrangements of the first song.
Okay, for I'm in Love and You're Not, let's see. I would say what, well, first off, the song starts right away full instrumentation, which isn't something I do often, which, and also lyrically, it goes, now you're on the phone with her. I'm starting in the middle of a story. So there's that. And then in the second verse, there's one moment where at the beginning I take it down instrumentally and just like kind of have an earnest moment where I'm like, I haven't stopped thinking about that night, and just picks it right back up into the story and
yeah.
and it fades out. And it's like started in the middle of the story and now we don't really know how it's going to end.
Well, and I love the harmonies on it. Like, it sounds like you love singing harmonies. Like, I love singing harmonies.
I do.
That's the best part. I remember one of my band members was like, hey, can I sing harmonies on this? I was like, hey, man, this is the only time I can ever sing harmonies with myself. Like this, we do this live, no problem. But this is the only time I can put harmonies and be the artist that I want to be making harmonies. So, like, now I take it with, like, so much, you know, passion about arranging harmonies. Tell me how you arrange the vocal harmonies on this.
Oh, this is my favorite thing to talk about. Harmonies and vocal production are my favorite things to do. Let's see. Typically with my harmonies, maybe I'll have some harmonies in the first chorus. And then I love to, the way I arrange harmonies is very much, comes from my country roots, listening to country.
Yeah.
I love adding like maybe a third in the first chorus and then throwing in a fifth in the second, in the middle of the second verse. That's the sweet spot. And then maybe in the second chorus, we've got a three part and last chorus, maybe a three part and some ad libs.
I do very much the same thing. I do one harmony in the first chorus. Sometimes I'll wait and do the first harmony in the second verse, like just one line, something like that. And then it's in the second chorus. And then the third chorus has three. I do the exact same thing. And it's like, it just makes so much sense when it's like arranged subtly like that. That's why I asked you. I'm like, oh, you've got some stuff. So were you listening to records that were doing the same things that gave you those ideas? Or were you just like, this feels right to do it like this?
I think subliminally, yes. Because I grew up listening to country, like old Taylor Swift, any song on country radio, I found that that was happening a lot. And I didn't realize how much it worked its way into my own music until I really started recording over the last few years. And I was like, oh, wait, that comes from everything I grew up listening to.
Yeah. It's really weird. Like, sometimes I'll put like Beatles style, like background vocals on things. And it's like, you realize you listen to all this music and it slowly seeps into your creativity while you're making a record, while you're doing things like that. So it's like, it's so cool when I hear artists, especially young artists, putting harmonies on things, arrange, thinking of the whole piece of the puzzle and how it works. Tell me what that first experience was like for you to go into a studio and record your own music.
Ooh, okay. So I was part of this very cool program in high school called CMAS. It's in Phoenix, Arizona. My high school was the only high school in the country that's done it. Wow. And we had a recording studio at my school.
Wow.
So since freshman year, I started recording songs there and also learning how to audio engineer. And
wow, that's incredible. Really?
Yeah.
They don't have that at most schools. That's crazy. That's awesome.
Super lucky.
And that's kind of like one of those synchronistic things. Like for me, it was like, you know, I didn't realize I sang in a children's chorus, and that's what got me into it. And that's where Billie Eilish came out of. She came out of the same chorus.
Whoa. So
it's really crazy. So like what's really funny is one of my friends who's been singing all of her life, her daughter is now in that chorus, or her daughter was in that. Actually, she has one daughter in that chorus. One daughter was in it with Billie. So it's just like, it's so crazy to see how that kind of influenced their music. But the thing is, it's like not an accident. It's like, it's not an accident that you're around these environments, because it makes sense for your trajectory that you had that experience to have. And now look, you're in LA doing music. Let's talk about that for a second. 'Cause you come from Arizona. It's a smaller pond than Los Angeles. Now you're in a much bigger pond. Tell me what that experience is like for you. Is it easy to get lost in the shuffle, or do you feel like you're ignited by the experience?
I would say I am more ignited by the experience, but I'd be lying if I said it wasn't challenging. But I will say, I moved out here in October of 2020, and I went to school for songwriting. So I went to LA College of Music, I lived in the student housing. So instantly I was surrounded by community, which I am super, super lucky about, because not everyone has that fortune. So I was really lucky to have
that. It's important to have too, because like music is a community and it's important to have. And I told you a long time ago, I used to teach at that school, and it's a great environment because it's like so many young creative minds all in the same place bouncing off each other, you know? And I'm sure you had that in high school a little bit, but it's different when it's like everybody's super focused and it's that next level thing. So I love that that's like kind of like helping you create more. And now you're in a city that it's full of artists, you know? So it's like, I love that you're just cranking out songs and getting things done. Let's play something else. What do you want to play us next?
Cool. Let's see. Let's go for Garden.
All right. Here's Garden by Olivia Rose.
Quick glance at my phone left me distracted. Saw her photos, you both look so happy by the roses. Heart fell to my stomach, I wish you'd fall out of love. Do you think I overreacted? 'Cause I saw two people in the garden, two pairs of lips that tell their stupid little love story. Doesn't it taste bitter by now? You're surrounded by weeds. You held me the exact same way you held her in the garden, and I can't help but wonder what went in your arms. Did you feel me, or did you picture her instead? From that moment, you and her surrounded by flowers, thinking you'd last forever. A place of peace wrapped in your words. I felt so lucky to be so secure. loves me not. And she'll pick fights like she used to pick those petals. Now I know how the story ends. I could see you leaving behind everywhere you've been. And she probably saw you lasting forever in the garden. But I have a secret, a little something you can bury in the bushes. Nothing lives forever. Held her in the garden, and I can't help but wonder what went through your head when I was in your arms. Did you feel me, or did you picture her instead? From that moment, you and her, thinking you'd last forever.
So good. I hear a little Paramore in that for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the end. So tell me what the influences or how did that come out in this song for you?
Man, I really wanted to channel Hayley Williams vocally for one thing with that belt. Hayley Williams is my favorite singer in the entire
world. She's great. She's great.
Rock chick through and through. And that is what I wanted to channel there.
Well, she just has this energy to her. Like, I love, like, all the Paramore stuff. But what really opened it for me was when she did the Zed track. I was like, oh, man, she's got this whole other level, whole other gear. You know what I mean? She just has this thing about her that's just, like, just she's a great pop rock singer. And then she's just such a great pop singer. You know what I mean? So I totally get that. You know, I can see how she was an influence. Have you seen her live?
Yes. I've seen Paramore a couple times.
I've only seen them on video, but they're one of the bands that I'm like, man, I got to see them live. Like, we've actually played festivals with them, but they've been on opposite sides of when we were there or wow. Vice versa. So it's like, I know it's crazy. It's like they're a great band. And isn't she married to the drummer? I think is that
no? She's actually not married to any of them. Okay. I don't think she's married. She's not married at all right now. Actually,
well, I thought she was. She was married to one. She was married not to one of the band members.
No, not to them.
All right, but I just love that you're influenced by her because. How did you hear of them? Because I remember when they got signed, it was like a big deal.
It actually wasn't until their, I don't know how familiar you are with their discography, but it actually wasn't until their After Laughter album era, which is in, I believe, 2016 or 17.
I think that's their second or third record, maybe, something like that.
I think it was their fourth.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So pretty late into their career, I joined in as a fan, but.
And what made you like get drawn to them so quickly?
I was really, really loving and exploring alternative pop at the time. And that's totally what that album is. Also with like elements of funk pop as well. It's super, super cool, but still maintaining Hayley's like authentic, just raw, powerful rock inspired voice. It's awesome.
Well, what I love is that like the band is heavy and then she's just like, full force pop like diva, you know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
rocks out, but it's like she's never like screaming to the point where it's like, oh, this is a metal track. It's always like good vocals. Everything's about like driving the song and the energy of the song and the band, you know what I mean? So I love that you're influenced by that. I heard a lot of stuff, especially in those hits at the end, you were like definitely wanting to bring that out. It's cool to see that different side of you. Are you playing electric in this song? Are you doing anything that's rocking out? Are you taking the guitar away and just singing the song? How does this work arrangement wise for you?
Yeah, I didn't play electric guitar. My boyfriend actually did play electric on it. I played acoustic guitar and sang. And that's my boyfriend played bass and electric guitar as well. And my best friend played drums.
Well, it just sounds like a well-oiled machine as a band. So I assume that everybody knows each other really well. And that's because that's what you can hear. You can hear that everybody comes from a place where they're like, oh, I want to make this happen in together. And it's like, it's friends jamming. That's what it sounds like. Like, okay, we know each other and we're gonna make something that sounds new, but also familiar to us. You know, it just has like a good arrangement. So I love that you're doing that. When you're writing, Are you thinking of the style that it's going to be in when you're recording it? Or are you kind of like waiting to see how that's going to change once you're in the recording process?
I very much have an idea of the sound when I'm, when it, from the very first idea, I'm like, okay, it's going to sound exactly like this. It's going to be in this style. I know where the hits are going to be, how the drums are going to come in and everything. So I'm pretty visionary from the get go. I'm like, okay, it has to be like this.
Awesome. I think that's important, especially when it comes from the songwriter perspective, because, you know, it's real easy for a producer or a bandmate even to just sway like, oh, this should go like this. And it can go against what you think the song should be. Like, there have been times where even like close friends and roommates and people that have been in my band, they've been like, yeah, let's go in this direction. And I'm like, no, this is like not it at all. Like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, and then there's times where it's like, people have been like, you know, we should go in this direction. And I'm like, yes. Those are my favorite moments where it's like, it's a surprise that it changes the direction of the song and you're way into it. So it's like, it's easy to like find like, you know, that influence. But I love when you, when a songwriter, any songwriter, when you can just know the influence and the direction that you want it to go in, and then it just goes in that place. How does that feel for you when you see it kind of land where you want it to land? Because it doesn't, you know this, it doesn't always land where you want it to go. So how does that feel for you when you feel like it lands right where you want it to be?
It's the best feeling in the entire world. It feels like everything in my life has just fallen into place.
Isn't it the best feeling, like, to get a song like that and then you're just like playing it on repeat? Like, you're just like, yes, this is the best. I find, like, I don't know if you do this, but one of my favorite things to do when I have a song that's finished is to go on a drive and then just listen to the music and listen to the song. And like, the world hasn't experienced it yet, but you're able to have that feeling of driving in the car and listen. And I don't know if you're like this too. Like, I kind of get that out of my system before people are listening to it. So it's like, I've already had my fill of the song by the time people are just listening to it. So it's like, you're ahead of that curve. Are you like that too?
100%. I love listening to mixes or whatever in my car and like driving by other people. And I'm like, they don't know what I'm listening. They don't know what I got going on in here.
That's the best. I think that's kind of like one of the best parts of being a songwriter and being like making a record, is that you're ahead of the entire world of, from hearing it, you know, like when it comes to hearing it, because nobody's heard it yet. Like, even some of my friends that have been around for 20 years, we've gone to parties and they're like, when the master arrives, they'll be like, hey man, can we listen to it? There's one time where a bunch of my friends, we crammed into somebody's car and listened to the first master that, you know, I'd gotten. And it was like such a cool feeling that like everybody was like down to, you know, get into the car and listen to this and, you know, hear it the way, you know, it should have been. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, when you create a song, there's one moment. And then when you record the song and mix it and master and it's all finished, that's another thing, because you're like, yo, I'm ready to abandon it and just enjoy it. And that's a hard place to be in. How do you know when a song is finished?
The age-old question. I think, you know, that's a great question. I think that there comes a point where you've tried all of the ideas and maybe they've stuck and maybe they haven't, but there comes a point where it's like, okay, I've really laid everything out on the table and this is what it is. And I am such a perfectionist. Right. So I do seek perfection a lot, but it's also fun to realize that even though it's a recording, like if there's like a little imperfection in there, that keeps it real. It's fun.
Yes. There are definite times, I'm sure you're like this, if I listen to something and it's too perfect, it just doesn't have that thing. There's something about it where it's like, yo, this doesn't sound like it's real enough. So like, there are sometimes where I like, I'll go back to mixes, older mixes, or make a new mix where I'm like, no, let's put this back where it needs to be because I want it to feel like this certain thing, even if it compromises some little detail that you liked in another mix. I don't know if the neuroses is the same, but I love that feeling where it's like there's some things that are more important than others when you're mixing or recording. And when those things come out in the right way, I think a lot of it is hard to kind of like let go of. But it's so great when you hold on to the things that you're like, people won't care about this like I will, but it's going to be documented and on the record the way I want it to be for this. What is something like that for you on a song?
Like an example or
yeah. What's an example like on a song where you like, I wanted to leave this the way it is because it had more feeling or whatever it is.
Ooh, you know, there's actually a moment in I'm in Love and You're Not where the fade out is happening. There's a lyric or there's a way that I sang one of the lines that wasn't quite perfect because I was just like experimenting. I was kind of just jamming, like seeing how to ad lib through that fade out. And there was one moment where my voice kind of cracked in a way where I was like, oh, like that wasn't supposed to happen. But we kept it because there's a certain almost charm in that. And it's like, it's like, no, you're not. Like, that's not how I said it, but like, it's like, there's a voice crack in there that it adds just a level of rawness and honesty that I try to capture in all of my songs.
I love that. You know, and it's like artists aren't doing that enough because it's that need to make it sound perfect and be perfect because you're competing with everybody else that sounds perfect. And it's like, I kind of feel like more of that needs to happen in music because that's like the human condition. That's the human experience being documented on the record because no computer can ever create that. Like it's the most human part of the voice. It's the most human part of emotion sometimes. And it's like, you take that out of a song, you kill that emotion and that rawness and really the nuance of it being human because you know, this computers can never sound imperfectly perfect and it just sounds perfect or it sounds just wrong, you know? So, and sometimes neither of those choices are great. So I love that you kept that crack in. What was it about the crack that made it honest for you?
I think, well, sometimes in real life, I stutter and my voice cracks every now and then. And I think also when the song is about being in love and when you're in love, you're nervous sometimes and your voice cracks when you're nervous. And like when you're feeling so much, it's like there's adrenaline there. And there was adrenaline when I was recording it too. So it's to that crack to me was just kind of an example of adrenaline and just a rawness that we decided to just keep tucked in there.
I love that. There's a song on my first record called Walk on Water. Mm-hmm. And I did a scratch vocal and we had played with a band. We'd opened for a pop band called The Calling. Mm-hmm. And we played this show right before this recording session and my voice was all worn out because we played a live show like we play live shows. And I did the scratch vocal and I was like, oh, I'll just redo this, you know, it'll be fine. And I came back like maybe a couple weeks later and redid the vocal and my voice was in great form. And my engineer at the time was like, hey man, it's a really pretty vocal, but it does not have the emotion of the scratch vocal. And I was like, really? And he's like, come in here and listen. Let's listen to both, with one with the scratch vocal, one with the, you know, lead vocal, and you tell me. And we listened to it. And I kept the scratch vocal and it's the scratch vocal is what's on the record. And I feel like artists aren't doing that enough. So when you tell me that you left the crack in, I'm like, thank you. There's a future for human existence to like be in music. So what songs or artists do you feel that gave you that artistic choice for?
Man, just bringing it back to Hayley Williams again and again, but honestly, Hayley Williams is a great one. Like there's a moment in, I don't know, I think it's one of her songs where I'm like, she's singing something very, like, very deeply personal and vulnerable. And I think there's a moment where like she left a note that was like slightly sharp or something, or something like that, where I was like, man, like, I love that though. Like, keep that, like, yeah, auto-tune, perfection, whatever, but like it's cool sometimes, like, and it catches my ear too. It keeps me engaged, and I think that's important too.
I know you feel me on this because when the average listener listens to it, have they ever been like, why did you leave that in? Like, sometimes they don't understand it, but we understand it. And I love, this is a really interesting conversation because I don't get to have this conversation with artists a lot because we don't really talk about these artistic choices that are so important to us and that most of the time other people would not understand because they want it to sound perfect and blah, 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 blah. And I think it's really important to have that rawness in music and that like real emotion and those real parts of the human voice or experience or whatever in the song. How does it make you feel when people don't understand it and they're like, has anybody said, why didn't you redo this vocal? Or like, you know, something like, you know, that where they you knew they didn't understand. Tell me what that was like if you've had that experience.
Ooh, I don't think I've ever had anyone ask me why I didn't redo the vocal. Luckily, oh my gosh, I think if I did, I'd be like,
you're like, wait a minute, well, give it time. People will, yeah. Like the funny thing is like people will, they'll ask you like, you know, I've had songs where it's like raw emotion and then a perfect vocal. And I have not gone with a perfect vocal. I've gone with the raw emotion because the song makes me feel something in this and it just feels like it's pretty here. You know what I mean? So I feel like as you keep making records, and I'm going to call this, you're going to keep leaving more of those cracks and those things in because that's what I'm doing. It's like I'm leaving more and more things like that in records because I'm like, man, this is where it's at. And Miles Davis did the same thing. He would say, if there's not a mistake in it, then I don't want to hear it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Like those are the things that make music so great. So give it time. You will. But let's play something else. What are you going to play us next?
All right. We've got In the Morning. It's the last song of today. And it's the title track of that EP that all three of these songs have been on.
All right. Here's Olivia Rose with In the Morning.
Did you know I felt so close to you? The night we played my favorite song and I danced around the room. I wanted it to last forever, but the night had to end. And that's when I felt left the apartment, turned off the light, and you took a piece of me. I wish that you stayed and kept me up all night, but I'll see you in the I miss 6 days ago when I
such a great tune. My goodness. So tell me, this arrangement really opens up. It's got such a good vibe. Tell me what your vision for this song was.
The vision was to just make a song that feels, it's a little bit sad. It's a little bit like, oh, like this person doesn't really like me back. But there's also like, I wanted to capture like a morning energy. Like there's a certain brightness that I really wanted to capture. And especially with those background vocals where I'm like, ah, like, it's just like, yeah. I don't know. I wanted to keep it really fun and upbeat, even though I'm singing about unrequited love.
It's cool. It's empowering. That's what I like about it. It's
thank
like,
you
feel this heaviness in the lyrical content, but you hear this empowerment in the sound and vibe of the song. I do that a lot too, which is why I was asking, because I'll take a sad song and put a happy arrangement around it. And people will be dancing to it. And I'm like, you're dancing to something that I went through that was heartache, but that makes it even more beautiful. So
exactly.
I'm sure people are having the same response with you. Do you perform with your band a lot?
I do a mix of both. I perform acoustic shows and band shows.
You got to let me know when you perform with your band, because I would love to see you perform and solo shows. We should do shows together, but I mean, band sounds so great. The arrangements are so awesome. Everything sounds so good and polished and tight. Thank you. Fun. It just sounds like a fun new band and new sound. So
thank
I love
you.
It. Love it. Where can people find you if they want to find you online?
People can find me on Instagram at Hi, I'm Olivia Rose. And on Spotify, my name is Olivia Rose. There are a lot of Olivia Roses. So you can also search In the Morning, which is the name of my debut EP.
Awesome. Olivia, you have an open invitation to come back whenever you have a new release.
Thank you.
It's so great. I'm so glad we got connected. Thank you, Jess Casanelli, for connecting us. I got to have Jess on the show too. But, you know, it's just really refreshing and reinvigorating to hear new artists making really good music, because I'll tell you, as an old guy on the block, I'm always like looking to see what are these young new artists doing, and are they doing it in a way that's has a message, has a sound, has a vibe? You've got all of it. So I hope you never stop writing. I hope you never stop making records. I hope you never stop performing. Thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood and for my songwriters of the round. High five all the way around.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Well, on behalf of Sam, myself, and Olivia, we'll see you guys next week. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Check out Olivia Rose on Spotify and on all major platforms. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and hair grease.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.